Blog Talk Radio.
Wellness Works with Centria of Annie's Wellness and Resource Center. I want to remind you today is Wednesday, so of course we have Todd Marcus and friends at the Home Slice on North Charles Street. And then you also have the Trinacria Jam Session every third Tuesday of the month. So you have the Jam Session tonight. Starts at 8 with the house band, runs to 9 with the house band, and then from 9 to 11, or 9 to close, you'll have open jam session with Todd Marcus and friends. And then you also have Trinacria at the corner of Park and Center Street every third Tuesday of the month that will be taking place. So, today we are going to have on with us Trek, and we're going to go over Con and how that will affect, how that could affect your finances in the future if you so decide to use that. I also want to remind everyone right now that Eddie's Wellness operates from 3 locations currently. It's subject to change on July 31st, but currently you can reach me at 7000 Security Boulevard between the hours of 1:30 and 2:30 by appointment, and then also at 1927 Park Avenue, Bloor, again by appointment, and then also at Body and Soul Salon Spa at 6401 Crawford Road. And that's also, you need to call and make an appointment. And the number there is 410-426-8680. And the number that you can call to schedule appointments otherwise is 443-204-2251. And be sure to inbox me if you have any questions or comments at the Facebook page at Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center, Centria and Dorsey LMT at any time. If you have any feedback for me on any of the segments that we've done, or you just want to get more information on my services and the resource services that are available, be sure to inbox me or call 443-204-2251. If I am not available, please leave me a clear, detailed message so that I'm able to get back to you. As I said, I am at 3 different locations, so in a given time, I could be in session, in which case I will not be answering any phone to take any message or to schedule anyone. So we're going to go to Mr. Trek. And hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
So,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
I'm dealing with the day. I am dealing with the day right now. I had planned to be indoors, but other things worked out today with some things I was taking care of. So I'm actually doing this mobile really right now, sitting on the side of the road. Yeah. So
I understand. I've done that myself a couple times, so I can completely understand where you are right now. The great thing about technology is we are able to do this mobile if we need to, so that's awesome.
Yes.
And speaking of
it really
tech,
is.
Yes. So your company is all about tech, but it's not traditional tech. It is about finance with tech. So first and foremost, what is the name of your company, and what inspired you to start this company?
Okay, so my company's name is Trexmark Consulting, LLC. I'm based out of Baltimore, but the work is pretty much mobile on a global scale. And what got me to this point was, for those who know about Bitcoin, it's, you know, one of the big name cryptocurrencies. Most people know that one. I've been in the crypto space for a couple of years now, over five at this point. And I used to be a defense contractor. And when I came back from my second deployment, I was really trying to find something different to do. And I was talking to another friend who lives in Europe who was in the space. And he was like, well, why don't you look into, you know, doing smart contract development, being a coder, basically. And so I started looking into it, and I was like, you know what? This has my attention. And so in January, I left doing the traditional 9-to-5 to move over into the gig economy space and focusing with financial technology, but cryptocurrency and blockchain technology in particular. And so what I basically do is provide education to individuals, mom-and-pop-sized businesses, small, medium-sized businesses, and enterprise businesses by providing content in context about this space in regards to being able to use the various types of cryptocurrencies that there are, whether it be a Bitcoin or most people know Ripple or an Ethereum or a Litecoin, as well as the technology that actually makes those things possible. The technology part, you know, most people don't necessarily understand that, but like I said, I try and provide the content in context so you understand it for where you are and how it applies to what you need.
Okay.
So.
Okay,
yeah.
That's quite a bit there. You said you did defense contracting, and you just jumped into this full-fledged in January. So, like,
yes.
This is all that you're doing right now.
This is all that I'm doing. And so what I say to people is I live in the space. I'm not just somebody who has a regular 9-to-5 job, and then I do, you know, Bitcoin stuff on the side, like, I read papers, I go to meetings, I go to conferences, I give speeches, I get paid in a cryptocurrency or two. I've been in this space long enough that for me to make this full transition over, considering things didn't pick up initially as fast as I would have liked, I was able to still pay, you know, my everyday regular bills, fill the vehicle with gas, you know, buy food. It's not by any means me bragging or saying that I'm, like, you know, financially wealthy. I'm just doing my little part right now for where I am. And, you know, I am a new business in that sense. So this is what it is right now.
Right. And being a new business, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, what is your plan for growth in this industry? And, like, so, yeah, where do you see your business in 5 years? What do you hope to accomplish in this particular industry that you would like to see occurring within your business in 5 years?
In 5 years, what I would like to see for myself, like I said initially, I was looking at getting into the programming part of it. I'm still working on the programming part in regards to learning programming languages that work in particular for this industry. And combine that with the hands-on knowledge that I actually know because of the years of being in the space on how to do exchanges and wallets. So I want to be able to, in the coming years or within the 5 years, have it that I have worked with more companies that are like blockchain technology based, and I actually have some products that are on the tech side that are actually out in the space being used. I'm also looking to expand just like the different programs that I'm working on. So one program right now that we're looking to push, I also co-host a show called Last Week in Crypto Tonight that comes on Sunday nights at 10 on DTube, which is like a crypto version, a blockchain version of YouTube. And basically, we're looking to promote a phrase called tag, you're a bank. So we want to take that and expand it not just within the state, but then, you know, get further out and get more people in the space and the have the mass adoption happen, as well as another project that I'm working on called Trekking Cryptos to Connect, where I basically do interviews for the people at the ground level who are hosting meetup events and like college clubs. And I talk to those people in the space to say, you know, what got you here? What do you see in how the makeup of your group is? What have you noticed since you started? There used to be like a traditional set of little, you know, cliques and tribes within the space. But now that we're X amount of years later, it's growing, and it's growing in ways that we did not think of 5+ years ago. There are definitely shifts happening for what people's interests are and how they're coming together. And so I want to, you know, document that. And in 5 years, I would definitely look to be global in that particular project. So those are my shorts on where I see certain things.
Okay. Now, for those who have no clue, they've heard the term Bitcoin, they've heard the term blockchain. What is that? Let's start with the blockchain, because I think people understand that Bitcoin is a form of digital currency. But what exactly is blockchain, and how does that affect or interact with Bitcoin in order to provide an income or possibly long-term income for a person who may decide to invest in it?
Okay. So in short, blockchain technology is no more than a fancy public ledger. And that basically means I have the copy of the information of all the transactions that you have, that I have, and that everybody who's in our network has. So this way, you have a thing called, something happened in front of me, but the point being is that because it's an open public ledger and everyone has a copy of it, someone just can't go in and decide, I'm going to change some of the data or the information on the ledger to say, like, I spent $5 today, and then tomorrow it's like, well, you actually spent $50 and you're negative now. So the basic of blockchain is that you can't go in and change whatever the information is that's on there. Like, once you put it in, it's there. That's it. There's no going in and changing it because everyone has a copy of what the ledger looks like. So you can't go in and rewrite the history of it today and then like try to go back tomorrow or a year later.
So that's a good way to ward off any money laundering, sounds like, or anything shady, any type of shady business would be, someone would be hard-pressed to continue that mode of operation if they took this on, which is actually great.
There's some little fallacies in what we, is what is told within, like, the public narrative of blockchain and crypto. So, yes, there is an ability, without getting too in the weeds of it, the technicalities, yes, you can see transactions, but I cannot readily identify you as the individual to the account. So that's to say, I, being Trek, can have $1 million and then send it to you in South Korea in a matter of 5 minutes, and it would probably cost me like maybe $3, right? I'm exaggerating the numbers for those who actually understand the fee part of it. But if you saw the blockchain and looked at the ledger of it, you wouldn't actually be able to identify that I and you were the parties involved. All you would see is a transaction number that said account A moved this over to account B, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the general of how the identification part works out. Now, it goes a little bit more particular when you start dealing with exchanges and stuff like that, but that's a little bit more
mm-hmm.
in the conversation. So
right.
that's the short yeah. on that one.
Oh, yeah, I was just looking at it, and I have a tendency to jump straight ahead. But I was just looking at it from an accountability standpoint, regardless of whether or not the actual persons are identified, in that the transaction history, as you said, by it being unchangeable. So on a smaller level, because like we talked about before, mom and pop, on that mom and pop level, then that's very beneficial, because then that keeps them with a clear view of what's happening in their business or what's mm-hmm. happening with their accounts, especially if they've delegated out an employee, let's say the manager, to have authority over moving certain transactions around, and they're able to follow those things without any concern that anything can be modified.
Yes, that is financing. The financing industry is the easiest so far application of blockchain technology. I usually tell people the metaphor of blockchain is your phone. Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies are just the apps on your phone. So financing okay. is the financial industry is the easiest application because it is less prone to have faulty input information. So if you use a credit card, there's no question on whether you spent $3. You don't have it where we're back in like 1970, where you had to get the carbon copy out, write the number in on, send it over to the head office. The head office went to the bank, and then somebody could have misread your zero for a nine somehow, and now all of a sudden the mm-hmm. amount is different. It alleviates that part by taking out what is labeled as the middle person, and it also alleviates how much overhead you would have as far as having to hire the extra staff. And once again, I'm just talking mm-hmm. about like financial related business practices. So yes, right. in that regard, accounting is a definitely big thing, and that's what makes cryptocurrencies like blockchain. Like Bitcoin, such a remarkable, we'll say, technology, as it's being used as an exchange of value, and it's being able to be used as a store of value. So for the person who's looking to, you know, increase their overall wealth, we call those hodlers, where you're looking to take fiat and then convert over into crypto, and you'll hold that, hodl, H-O-D-L, which is hold on for dear life. And you would look to hold that, and not for like a 6-month period. We're talking the long run of a year and better. If you're in the United States, you now have to worry about the IRS and how your taxes will work out in regards to the capital gains, and then the other one you could fall into. The best advice given per what the IRS is putting out, if you're dealing in cryptocurrencies and you're looking to hold it as a store of value, which is like comparable to what someone does with gold and silver and precious metals and things like that, it would be to get in and make sure to hold it for at least a year. So when you have to deal with your taxes, you're paying the lowest price point on this. And this is general what I'm saying right now. Like, you can go on the IRS site, you can talk to your CPA, who can give you way more detail in those particular things if they deal within the crypto space. But like you were saying, for accountability, yes, it definitely works out for that.
Okay. Now,
getting back to that long-term investing, and you just mentioned a year. So that's technically still a short-term. It's more like a savings account type of time frame.
It is.
If someone did want to use this type of currency to build a retirement, what would that look like?
Okay. So once again, like I'm giving general statements because there's X amount of little in the weed detail things, especially if you're a U.S. resident, that come into play. And so if you were looking at it as a store of value in a long run perspective, you're looking to hold that crypto for a minimum of a year. In that you don't want to have to deal with the capital gains tax of what happens when it's under a year and you try to do a transaction of spending it on something or trying to get another cryptocurrency, because you're able to do that. When people say stuff like, oh, well, it's like a stock, this is not a stock in any traditional sense at all. With cryptocurrencies, you, the individual, are able to send it to someone else. You can break it up into smaller decimal points, and then you can actually, like, let's say you want to give it to all of your grandkids and just let it sit in what are called crypto wallets, and it will, through the use case and the mass adoption, it will gain value in that regard. Now, you have things called stable coins or stable tokens, and then you have what is the other one I can't think of right now, but like currency tokens. So you can look at it on the end of getting into the technology, which I personally look to promote technology over price because of how the pricing mentality tends to turn people, where if they see something happen in the market, all of a sudden everyone gets skittish. And they have what we call weak hands, where everyone wants to sell off because they heard something on the news and it sounded like it was bad and they didn't really know what it meant technically, but I got to get rid of this stuff now. So you have it where people have kind of a herd mentality of where they'll buy when things are high and then sell when they're low, which you want to really get into doing the opposite of that. When everyone is talking about something going high, that's when you want to hold. Well, that's when, if you're looking for profit, you want to sell off then, and then when it goes low, you buy back in. That's how traditional stock works. That also applies in this space. And so the idea being is you can get into what are called ICOs, which is initial coin offering. Companies are usually based in more of a technical, what we want to do with this technology called blockchain. And some of the, how do I say this, X amount of the companies that are looking to do ICOs are not necessarily just jump in because you heard that it's going to be the next big thing. That is a very foolish way to invest your money, especially when you're trying to talk about doing a long run wealth building strategy. It takes a lot more than just I saw it on CNN or I heard about it on some other news station. So in short, the idea would be to do your due diligence research. One of the things that is happening in space now is there's a ton of people on YouTube. There's a ton of people on other medium sources that will tell you about the next big ICO. Some people are better at it than others in regards to doing the research and actually getting you to understand what the product or service is and how it would actually work. Some people just tell you about price and they pump it, and it's to be leery of that. And I recommend, I tell my family this, I tell my friends this, You look into something, go to more than one source.
Yes.
And going to more than one source is just because you saw it on YouTube doesn't mean that counts as like the end all be all.
Right. Or even sometimes a reliable source, like you said, because there's so many people out there that may not actually be in the industry or taking the time to do the homework, but they had a particular experience, and so they're simply sharing their experience. And it has nothing to do with actual day-to-day insight and or actually being a part of or invested in the industry in and of itself. So, yeah, that's very, very important that people do, just like you would in a medical setting, 9 times out of 10, if it's something you're unfamiliar with, you're going to get that second or third opinion before you make a final decision. So, as you said, the same way it would be foolish to go into a traditional stock and sell it just because it bottomed out is the same way it would be foolish to do the same with this, because in that aspect, in that regard, it is set up the same way, which was my understanding. So I just wanted to make sure everybody else understood that also. Now, ICOs, when, and I'll just use this because this is a hot topic right now. So, like, when all mm-hmm. of these companies opened up with selling the marijuana or the weed stocks, the same concept. Just because a new company has opened and they have stocks for this hot commodity, doesn't mean that the company in and of itself is going to stand the test of time. So what are some of the indicators that a person should look for when determining what company they should work with if they aren't connected to a consultant at the time and they want to try to fill out this system on their own? Like, how could they go about that? I would recommend that they see a consultant like yourself, but we know that everyone does not do that. So what are some of the indicators they should look for in these ICOs that would assist them in making a good decision?
Okay. So once again, general advice on the end of do your own due diligence and right. Definitely have more than one source. But usually, so what happens is you have the website of the ICO. You can go to the website. Most of the ICOs now have this thing called a white paper. And a white paper is, in short, a academic paper that breaks down what this thing is supposed to do. And it tells you, like, their business model, what is the technicals of how their thing is supposed to function, what they're doing with the token, and how the token functions in their environment. I am of the mind that I'm of the mind that if the company has a token, and a token or a coin, whichever word you want to use, and it is not needed to function in the environment, I don't look to deal with it then. That's just me personally, because then you get into a thing down the line of they may have a great business model that is applicable to whatever industry, but they're getting what is happening is an ICO is going to you, the general person in public, and saying, if you give us your crypto, we're going to convert that into what our token is, and then we're going to give you that. Now, you gave them something of value, which was the Bitcoin or the Ethereum, and they gave you something that they're telling you will have value eventually. Now, if that company doesn't meet their timeline as far as, well, you know, in 3 months we're going to do this partnership with such and such business, and then in another 4 months we're going to have our mobile app, those things like that are kind of, you know, telltale signs. If you are just finding out about a company and you look at their roadmap, have they met their timeline? who's on their team? Are they composed of people who are new in regards to, well, I have a startup idea and I've been coding for like 3 years, and like my head person, he used to work at a smoke shop? You kind of mm-hmm. question that, you know? So you're looking at the makeup of who is on the team, who's in charge of it, who's the developers, who they're dealing with marketing. What are they talking about as far as if they're going to do partnerships? And then the other part that really gets it is, if you go through all of this stuff to look at different, you know, YouTube videos talking about it, or if you're reading through their white paper and you're looking at different online sources like Reddit or Bitcoin.pub or any of the other forums or different mediums within the cryptocurrency space, and you still don't get what that thing is that they're promoting, you might want to stay away from it.
Right.
Just one of my thoughts, you know, where if I can't explain this to somebody after doing all of this research and look around, I can't tell you with 100% conviction that, yeah, I believe in this thing, and I'm going to give them what I have of value for what they're telling me will eventually be of value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the things I would say watch out for.
Okay. That makes perfect sense, but that is a lot, especially for a person that's new to the system. So make sure, if you're going to step out and do it yourself, first and foremost, that it is a currency that is already existing and is already, that already has a track record. And then look to see which company is also using those currencies before you make an investment based off of that company's business plan and model.
Could I throw this one in? If you look on my website, treksmartconsulting.com, I have a list of some things in regards to, like, you know, what's a wallet breakdown. And I have links that go to sources of information that I've used, that I trust, that other people that I know who also operate in the space would recommend to other people. Like, I'm not going to tell you to go and look at something that I question as far as how accurate or how trustworthy the presenter or so is of that information. One of the things that I find is getting a lot of people is that there's a lot of information out now. And like I said, I live in the space. I work in the space. I have the time to read all of the newspaper articles and have the different forum conversations. The everyday person does not have that. And I totally understand that because I used to be that person. When you find one source that you feel like explains things to a level that you can get, go find somebody who sounds the total opposite and then start comparing what they're saying about that thing that you have an interest in. And you cross-reference it out that way. Like I said, you can check out my site and it can point you in some directions if you're talking about getting into trading, if you're looking at mining, if you just want to look at what the market cap websites look like, and even, you know, doing the on-ramping, which on-ramping is where you go from the fiat, which is the USD, into the crypto. I have a link for Coinbase, which is the American, like, number one on-ramping website for people going from the regular U.S. dollar into the crypto. And you can get Bitcoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Ethereum on their website. And don't go crazy. Just, like, you know, a little $20. Play around. See how you feel, if you're comfortable. And then you might want to, okay, we might do $100. Like, my recommendation, if you go that far and you don't get advice from somebody who's more experienced in the space, ease into it. And only put up what you are literally willing to lose. If that website or whatever just totally craps out tomorrow and you can never get any of that money back. That is, like, the one thing I say to people. Remember that.
Okay. And then you mentioned a word, another term, mining. What exactly is mining?
Okay. So mining is what works on the back end of how cryptocurrencies are created in the space. Without, once again, going too far into the technical part of it, it basically is you have, computer-specific devices that computate a particular math function in order to try to be able to win the race, so to say, and being able to verify transactions that happen on the network. And so you have those people are called miners, and it's actually devices, okay. It's not people themselves. So when people talk about miners, they're not actually talking about mm-hmm. a person. They're talking about a computer device that specifically at this point works, figure out what the mathematical equation is that allows for the mm-hmm. creation and the verification of cryptocurrencies into the environment on the blockchain network.
Okay, so the mining technology gives the credibility to the currencies that are being presented, either gives the credibility or dismisses the credibility of what's being introduced into this industry.
It actually works to It actually works mm-hmm. to prevent double spending. It actually works okay. to control or give the network the immutability in regards to the transaction. It works for the provenance because of how the miners work. There's a network of miners. If you have the money to be able to do the upfront cost of the hardware, you can be a miner.
Mm-hmm.
And what eventually happens is you start mining the hash function to be able to figure out the math equation. The more mm-hmm. hash function you have, the faster you work, basically. And the first person to figure it out, they get to verify the transaction that happened between party A and party B, and they get a reward for it. The reward that you get as a miner is usually paid out in that particular cryptocurrency that you're mining. So if I'm on the blockchain network and I'm a miner, every time I verify a transaction and I get to put them all into what is called the block, hence why we have the blockchain, and they're all connected together through these things called hash graphs, but I don't want to run too far down on that one. But the point being is that when you get to verify that, you get a reward. And right now we're at like 12 and a half Bitcoin. Yeah. And then it's going to half again in another, 2020, I believe it's going to half again. But as a reward, you get 12 and a half Bitcoin, which, once again, if you have the upfront money for the hardware and the top-of-the-line stuff right now is these things called ASICs, you can make a pretty penny. The crypto space right now is one of those things that is within the gig economy, in that there are different ways that you can make money in this. You can be a miner. You can be a day trader or a swing trader. Or you can be just somebody who hodls, or you can be somebody who's doing what I'm doing through education. You can consult in other different areas. You don't even have to be a technical person, like a programmer. You can be somebody who knows marketing, and then you can work for one of the ICO companies. You can be somebody who knows accounting, and you work in the back end office. Like, one of the things people kind of shy away from about the space is they think it's all about being techie and technical. And it's not. Like, it takes everyday regular people to make things like this happen, or to make the space develop to what it's going to be in the next, 10, 20, 30 years. It's not just the technical people.
Right. And I think that's like the biggest thing, because even as you're speaking right now, and I know for a fact, that you are making this as simple as you possibly can. for everyone that's listening. And so someone may be very much intimidated by the lingo, by the processes that are being explained as to how the currency grows and can be used economically. But it's just that, it's just the processes. And so that's not something that we should allow to stop us from exploring.
Not at all.
It has on you. Because at the end of the day, we all have to learn or start to cushion our own beds for the future, because we know that Social Security is no longer a guaranteed thing because the government dips in it. It wasn't intended to be used by the government. It was for the people. But in any case, certain entities can take things and it's not qualifying. So that's a whole other conversation. But in any case, since we know that we're in a situation now where we need to pad ourselves for retirement, this is another avenue. This is another resource, another way of doing that. But it's just about learning. And like you said, you don't have to learn everything. There are plenty of people who invest in the regular stock market, have no clue what they're doing. They just know that this is something that they should do. They get their risk assessment done. And that, is that something that you would suggest a person does with this also? Maybe take a risk assessment and see where they are with investing in general so that they know how to proceed with this?
It used to be that if someone asked me about getting in the space, I would just shoot off a couple of names. I'm like, all right, you know, just put money on that. This is like 2-3 years ago. Now it is a lot more methodical. What are you trying to do? Is this a short run thing for you? Or is this a long run thing for you? Are you actually trying to, leave your traditional sources of income as far as dealing with a regular W-2 job, or are you trying to cross over into the space full time as far as it being how you get paid or how you're maintaining yourself financially? And so like that, those are individual conversations.
Right.
Because I can tell you about, you know, ICOs that are outside of the U.S. that would work very well for residual income. And then I can also tell you about things that are here within the U.S., but you have to be an accredited investor in order to even take part in that. That means you have to make more than $250, and you have to have done it for a couple of years before you can even be a part of that. But it's an individual conversation on trying to figure out what the person is trying to do, as well as where they are at financially, what things make sense for them to start with, and then be able to convert over and grow going forward, and getting them comfortable. Because the whole thing about this is, like I said, I'm working on a movement called Tag Your Bank, is to have people understand what economic inclusion and economic freedom mean in being able to control your own finances. Like earlier today, I had to deal with going to the bank and having to go from one bank to another bank and going through a whole rigmarole of, like, you got to show your ID, you got to ask this question, answer that question, give the reason why. And it's like, but this is my money. Like, I put it into you guys, so I shouldn't have to go through all of this to get it back and do what I want to do with it. But that's what the present system is. And the idea is to get people to be more understanding to the reality of there is a thing called economic sovereignty. And if you're working for your money, you should be able to do what you need to and want to do with it. And you don't necessarily or shouldn't have a centralized authority telling you how and when to do it. That's just, you know, one of those things. But as far as what you were saying, it's an individual kind of thing for trying to figure out where a person is financially, what they're trying to do in the long run, or if it's just a short run thing. Do you really want to just get in and, you know, it pumps up and you make out great and then you instantly sell off and just walk away with your profit? But now you got to worry about the taxes because the tax man is always there.
Yes. So. Absolutely. Wherever there's money to be made, they want a piece. So, sounds like, yes, a person should do a risk assessment. However, it's not a traditional risk assessment because a lot of risk assessments can be done pen and paper just to find out where you are. But aside from that, like, so basically the consultant could take the risk assessment and use it as part of the building the profile for the individual to see where to start them.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what the risk assessment is as far as investing, it basically tells you, based off of a series of questions that you answer, whether or not you're a conservative investor or you are a person who is open to high risk and don't mind. Like you said, they have the ability to jump in, take a chance. If they lose the money, whatever, I'll move on to the next thing, and it's not a big deal. Whereas a conservative investor needs something. Now, there are other, I'm going right to the extremes of these because there are a differentiation with between the two extremes. So when you have the ultra conservative where I have to see a return no matter what I put in, then that's good for the consultant to know also, because even though that's not the absolute picture, there might be all the traditional investor needs to know, because then they can just lock you into an annuity or a mutual fund like a TST fund where it's guaranteed you're going to make 6 to 10% every year, and all you got to do is
this is a very different ball game.
So right, and that's what I'm saying. So that's what I was saying. Like, a person probably should still take that risk assessment and then have that piece of information to share with their crypto consultant, because then that'll make it easier for you guys to build that profile, because then you know you're dealing with someone who needs something that has had a track record of a performance, whether it's a median performance or high performance, over since the beginning. You know, basically, there that person is looking at since this thing started. Has it been doing okay? Has it been a steady progression? Like, I know they might have a year.
You know what?
Okay. They never bottomed out. You know what I mean? So that would be that ultra-conservative person. Whereas, like I said, the other end of the spectrum is, we'll just go for whatever, you know. So how would that be helpful for you, or would it not be helpful?
It would be helpful, but one of the things that, so little thing about this space is there are no bank holidays. There are no FDICs, although certain businesses or companies within the space are looking to make certain moves that would allow them to be covered to a certain amount, like a traditional banking institution. But this is really about you being able to deal with managing your own finance. If you're the type who's like, well, I just want to, you know, pay somebody and have them deal with the whole thing, this might not necessarily be the space for you. I'm going to be upfront about that. We are not at the streamlined level that generally works for everyone. It's still X amount of kinks that need to be worked out of the system. The technology is not as user-friendly as it could be. but it is definitely more user-friendly than where it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mind you, blockchain as it's being used right now in cryptocurrency is about 10 years old right now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's been some time, but it's still, there is still a level of barrier, entry barrier in regards to coming in. But it boils down to being comfortable, like getting exposed, being comfortable with using the technology, and then exploring on doing other things with it. Like the technology, blockchain itself, it's a permissionless technology. It's a, well, you know, what kind of idea do you have that you want to apply it to? It might not work in every use case, but you can try it as a technology. This is going off all the techie folks.
Mm-hmm.
This works to where you don't need to ask someone, can I use this way? It's an open source permissionless technology that anyone who has enough ability to read and have imagination, you learn the programming language you need for it, and then you go from there. Or you might not even need to reinvent a whole new blockchain. Just use one of the platforms that are already in existence now. You know, there is a shift happening on two fronts. One is cultural and one is technological. And I see it on the end of, I've been in the space long enough and I go to different cities and different states and I go to different meetups and talk with people at different levels of the space. So the people who are in DC and they're about, you know, regulations and taxes and the SEC stuff. And then like I'm in Philly and I'm talking to the people around the way and we're at the bar and it's like, yeah, so did you see what, you know, Ripple did? And there's different nuances within the space, but the technology is about what do you need it to do? Do you want to deal with big transactions and you're a financial institution? All right, then, yeah, Ripple will work out for you. But if you're talking about, like, the little around-the-way local person, okay, hey, use Dash and you can pay for the coffee. If you're up in, what's that? Not Montana. New Haven. I can't remember the name of the place right now, but it's like one of the real northern states. Like there's X amount of retail spaces that take Monero, and Monero is a privacy coin. Once again, without going too far into the weeds, it's a different option. And I'm not saying this to say that all of these things will be the absolute end all be all thing that someone needs. But what I'm saying is there's an option and you can explore it and use it how you would like and get it to fit what you need, whether it be within the cryptocurrency space as far as taking it as a store of wealth for your long run, 5, 10-year, 15-year plan, what you're going to do for the grandkids or the kids, or you have it as a exchange of value and where you're paying for something. Like I know people who bought cars in crypto. You got some companies that are working out doing real estate property in crypto.
That's awesome.
It's a matter of, yeah, like what are you trying to do and figuring out what thing works for what you need it to do.
Okay. All right, sir. So I want you to let everyone know you said you had a website. Could you tell us the name of that website again? And then it is on my Facebook page, but please spell it out also, just in case someone may need to write it down.
So my website is called Trek Smart Consulting. It is TREKK, that's 2 K's, and then Smart, SMART, consulting.com. You can also find me on Twitter, and it's actually Smart Trekking, which is SMARTTREKKEN. I write articles on Medium under the same handle of Smart Trekking. If you go to the website, it has all of the other contacts for me. And you can also schedule an appointment, because I also do over-the-phone, free 30-minute consultant. And we can kind of go from there to see, like, what is it you need or what are you interested or, you know, what you need help in. And, yeah, you can do that all through my website, treksmartconsulting.com.
Okay, and you said you give
the initial consultation, you give a person a full 30 minutes pre-consultation to find out where they stand and where they can start.
Yes. Also,
if possible, during that consultation. Yeah.
Last part, like I said, I co-host a show on D Live, which is like a live streaming version of YouTube and like Twitter and stuff like that. It's literally DLIV.io. It's called Last Week in Cryptos Tonight. It's me and three other great guys who live in the space. One of us works for an exchange. Another person, he actually does interviews with like the who's the who within the space, like the founders and stuff. So that's Ken Bosak, then another friend, Rice Crypto and Mac, and then there's me, Trek, and we basically, you know, give you our opinion on what we see having had happened in the space the prior week. We don't do any price pumping stuff. We stay away from the price stuff. We're not looking to give people financial advice. We really just look to talk about, you know, the technologies and then the things that we see in the news as far as, like, the regulatory stuff that's going on and other events that are happening in the space and, like, what it actually means to the people on the ground and how it will affect us.
All right. Okay. That is great. But seriously, I hope everyone will take a moment to check out that broadcast. So you can get more information on this currency and how you can use it to your benefit in the future. And I'd also recommend that you check in with Trek when you have a chance today to get any additional information you may need. If we've answered all of the questions that you've had to this point today, that's great. If not, be sure to shoot him a message, or you can shoot me a message at my Facebook page, and I will be sure to get it to him. Thank you again for coming on today, Trek, and we will be in touch. We will follow up with you and see where things are, see where things are going, and give people some more information and insight into this growing industry, because it is growing industry. It's not going anywhere. Anytime you have people using it to do large purchases like housing and cars, we know that it is now a viable source of finance, and it's not going to go anywhere anytime soon. So that's great to know. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll be in touch, sir.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, like you said, if you have any further questions, just check out the website, treksmartconsulting.com. That's 2 K's, and hopefully I can help. Like I say, it's cryptos and blockchain, and I look to put content into context for the everyday person.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right.
And just to remind everyone, again, I told you about the Tard Marcus and friends at Home Slice tonight. Just a reminder, June 16th, Tard Marcus Quintet Baltimore CD release is happening at 700 North Calvert Street in Baltimore, Maryland, 21202. You can get tickets at centerstage.org. If you're interested, and that is Saturday the 16th at 700 North Calvert Street. We will be in touch. Have a great, blessed, and wonderful rest of your week.